Hello, Beardcast listeners. This is episode number 63 of the Nitro Beard Beardcast, NitroBeard.com's awesome, rad as shit podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Wes Gardner, and I got three other fine gentlemen with me here today. Over in this corner, we got Mr. Imran Khan.
I'm the fifth sequel in this series, Imran.
Oh, thanks. We have Mark Bradshaw.
I'd just like to announce that you can still text Nitro Beard in Pakistan. So get in on it while you can. It's great.
And,
for Bantam.
And Brian's sitting this one out, but to fill in the chair. And he's getting apparently a lot more comfy in this chair. Because this is two for two. Is that right, David Marchman?
Yeah, I did the last one as well, yeah.
Fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
So our unofficial, official European correspondent is with us today.
Yeah.
Good deal. Yeah, we've probably already been talking for like 30 minutes and we're just now starting the show. But, oh, yeah, there's quite a bit to talk about. Do we want to go into what we've been playing right now, or do we want to kind of continue the conversations we've been having thus far?
Well, it's kind of hard. It'd probably be very unfair to the listeners if we just broke in back with like Dune versus Doom versus anything else. So we just like, I think we would just like go back to that place organically.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. We'll talk about, I know we can open it. If you have a Twitter and you're following myself and, Imran, we thank you for your patience as we hijacked your Twitter accounts. I don't know if, Mark and David, if you guys saw it, but yeah, Imran and I had the debate on whether the guy suing EA for the Battlefield 1943 not coming on the PlayStation 3 copy of Battlefield 3. That's a really convoluted sentence.
So about that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that like officially announced like by Sony or whoever?
Jack Tretton said it at Sony's E3 conference.
Yeah.
Okay, so he said it at E3. Was that ever put in like any of the PR material by anyone involved when they sold the game? Was it like involved in?
Not until after release. Then they said that why they're not doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't really official. It was just like
correct
something they said during E3.
Right.
It wasn't really something like was it supposed to be involved in like the PlayStation 3 version? Like you couldn't go to like GameStop and it will say, hey, if you buy this, you get a free download of this thing.
Right. And that's, I think, in the argument that Imran and I had, I think we both agreed that the lawsuit doesn't affect anyone. Like the lawsuit itself isn't really the problem. I think what my point on it was I just think the idea that he could do a lawsuit over this is silly. It's just silliness to my mind. But, I mean, Imran made really good points, the fact that, you know, we definitely have a right to think it's silly, but he has a right to the content he was promised. And that's absolutely true.
If the only time that I ever heard of it was Jack Tretton saying it at E3.
That was
my, I mean, really, how many times has he said that this game is exclusive on the PS3?
Yeah,
But I mean, if it wasn't next week, right, they should have said something.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree that if they knew they weren't going to put it in there, they should have said before release. But my main thing is, I think the example that I brought up, and I don't know how tangible it is like if I had Imran, if I promised last year that Imran would write a million word article for Nitro Beard, and then he got really close to the million words, and the content was there, like it was a full story, people could read it, people could enjoy it, but it wasn't exactly what was promised. And then a reader sued Imran because he
did. That makes no sense.
Well, no, because the thing is, here's the thing. They bought Battlefield 3, but he's suing because he didn't get a game that wasn't on the box anyway. Like, nowhere on that box did it say there was Battlefield 1943 in the box. And Imran actually brought up the point, what if the Metal Gear HD collection only came with Metal Gear Solid 2?
Can I just break in and ask a question?
Yeah, yeah.
You had this debate on Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah. Does Twitter still have that 140 character limit?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And you had this debate on Twitter.
That's why we apologize, because I literally think it was 4.5 hours of every 30 seconds a response being added.
That must have come across as like the most passive aggressive, just because of the kind of
what
format it has to
like
take.
We've
the most passive aggressive
about wife
like
beating and child raping.
Well, yeah, I mean, because we were talking about, okay, the court system. I mean, it got into that discussion because, okay, who has a case? Does he have a case? in many ways, I mean, it could be argued, but
he has a, I mean, he has a case in that he could bring it before the court, and it's just, you know, in that much. But I mean, there's nothing keeping him from suing. But you know, if literally, if it wasn't in any PR stuff aside from Jack Tretton just having an offhand comment during E3, he has every right to sue.
If you believe EA's explanation, they had planned to do it and decided against it, but they didn't inform anyone, they decided against it.
Oh.
Like, after E3, they didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Because they decided that it would work better if they just made DLC, like, exclusive to PS3 for a week.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe at all. That's pure bullshit.
What I think they
should have done was said, kind of, what Imran says is announced like earlier that they said, actually, no, we've got no plans to do Battlefield 1943, and then later talk about the DLC. Because what they said was, we never had plans to do Battlefield 1943, but actually, you can buy our DLC a week earlier. And it's like, that's not a great deal.
Yeah, that's a bad deal. You just gave me a shaft. And I agree.
All they have to do is say it earlier, and people will get over it. If you had planned to pay $60 for it, You were going to buy the game anyway.
Right, correct. And it's one of those, if they were that big of Battlefield fans, because
people would have bought it on the PC anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly. And they promised that for 4 freaking years. We were supposed to get it before consoles did. And then, yeah, it literally got shit-canned. And they promised directly from the Battlefield team that it was coming to PC.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, PC gamers actually sort of have more of a case, because
Battlefield 1943 is still listed as in development on the DICE site.
Right! And it's never coming out, ever.
Ever.
Did you guys hear the news that there was an insider at a Child's Play function that was saying that DICE originally offered Battlefield 1943 to Nintendo as a GameCube exclusive?
Really?
Really?
But, the way their infrastructure worked for online, they couldn't find a way to get the two ideas to meet. So DICE just went to EA.
That would have been really interesting if that would have come out, because I think
it's kind of like an Atari buying, had the chance to buy a Nintendo situation. I mean, that would have changed everything for Nintendo. I mean,
it really would have. I mean, it would have helped with third-party support. It would have helped with the whole Nintendo online infrastructure. I mean, it could have. But it's kind of.
It would basically have the Halo, sitting right there.
Yeah.
Nintendo really need to sort their online out. I mean, it didn't hurt them this gen because the Wii had something else, but.
Right.
If they don't get it sorted with the Wii U, if they don't have a decent online system, and I've never actually used the 3DS, so they may already have a system in place that's good, but they really need to get it sorted, because, you know, Xbox got this right with the original Xbox Live. You know, they got this right first time. It's not that hard to do, to be honest. You just look at what's successful and copy it.
And what's really bizarre is, over in Japan, they have a much different internet structure, don't they? I mean, we are on the most outdated version of the internet that you can possibly have here in America. To be fair,
theirs is more advanced, but it's only used to play Monster Hunter. So,
right. So there's no bandwidth. But
that's not even online. There, they all go to little gaming cafes and hook their I mean, the fact that they still play their PSPs says how different it is over there.
but I mean, we're just based on the phone lines that were put down into the ground in 1920. So it's, you know, we're kind of at an outdated model.
The rumor is right now that the Wii U is being courted by EA and Valve for who's going to actually put their services on the system. And I get the feeling that Nintendo's probably going to side with EA on this one.
Yeah, they will.
Because they're bigger. And EA, it's going to screw them over because EA is only out for EA.
Yeah.
But they had this bigger console presence too. I mean, it's not, if Nintendo walks away, they could be walking away from like Madden, from like just a ton of shit.
That's dirty, because EA publishes console versions of Valve games. So it's like, hey, they win on every regard, and you're like, fuck.
I do wonder if they're going to keep doing that in the future, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's been a very public bitch fight since then.
Yeah, especially since it's Origin horrible. And.
Yeah.
Interesting. But,
if EA is designing their online account, because the issue Nintendo says they're having is they don't have any online engineers, and hiring those people is apparently kind of difficult in Japan. So what they're doing is they have developers
don't hire them in Japan, then. Hire them in other countries.
Yeah.
But Sony has these people, and Nintendo has more money than Sony.
And I think
that's
why that's why Nintendo's probably just not making a carbon copy of PSN and Xbox Live, because Sony did that, and Sony got in a fuck ton of trouble.
Yeah.
Like, any chance Nintendo was going to copy those died last May.
So, like, so EA, is it, are they just, EA just creating, like, their own infrastructure for, like, EA stuff and, like, fuck everything else? Or, like, would EA or Valve be creating the infrastructure for everything that would play on the Wii U?
I think it might be, like, how Steam is on the PSN, maybe?
Yeah.
As in, it's on there, but it's opt-in.
So that's going to be fucked up if you're like, a third party and not EA, and you're trying to make, like, a great, like, online experience for the Wii U, because you're EA is not going to do this shit for free.
Yeah.
You're basically giving money to EA and Nintendo at the same
time. Well, the way I see it is almost, and this is pure conjecture, I mean, there's no way to tell one way or another, but it's, to me, it almost seems like Unreal Ed, how you can license it out. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. EA could be the main proprietors of the technology and then sell that technology to Nintendo. And Nintendo could use the service, and then people could just come on board with it.
Yeah. There's no way Nintendo's going to completely cede the whole thing to another company.
Oh, there's no way.
Like, if they thought it was a good idea, the second they looked at the financials, they'd stop.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think the logic of them, like, getting it made by, say, Valve or EA and getting it licensed from there is probably the most likely thing.
Because at the end of the day...
Because, I mean...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
They'll want Call of Duty Elite on there as well.
Yeah. It's one of those things to where if Nintendo's very good at one thing, it is handling their money. Because aren't they the only company that still makes profit every fiscal quarter?
Not anymore.
They've been losing money because of the yen conversion the last year.
But did that eat into their profit, or did that actually eat into their bottom line?
Oh, it's kind of weird to tell because, you know, like, Microsoft and Sony are, like, huge corporations that have different divisions.
Right.
It's probably entirely possible if you just, like, separated Microsoft from, like, everything else and just took MGS that they'd make a profit. They're probably – of course, we don't know because no one really has, like
– Yeah, that type of
– access to the numbers. Mm-hmm. But the Xbox 360 is probably being sold for profit, and it's probably has been being sold for profit for, like, the past 2 or 3 years.
Right.
At the very least, since the Slim came out.
Yeah. If nothing else, Kinect is being sold for profit, and that's probably making them the most money.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We don't really know about Sony, but it stands to reason they are because, I mean, that's not exactly, like, it's like cutting-edge technology at this point in time.
Yeah.
They didn't make it for a while.
I mean, if I was a businessman and I was still losing money on something that gave me such a fucking headache for the past 5 years, I'd get out of that business in a heartbeat.
And there's no way they're not making money off, like, the PlayStations at this point.
Yeah, they'd have to.
All PlayStation portables, right?
Yeah, they would have to be because, yeah, all the stuff with the hacking and the bad PR and...
Oh, they're making money off the PSP consoles kind of hand over fist, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's still... The console itself is still selling... quite respectable numbers. It's just there's no games selling for it.
You got to think like Motorola can sell like a really base smartphone for like $200 without contract, and like that's way newer technology than anything that's been in the PSP.
Right.
So yeah, they have to be.
Interesting, but let's see, what is?
But yeah, it's very difficult to tell who's making like. A profit or how much profit at this point in time.
Because I do know that out of all three of the big names, that Nintendo has been a little bit more reasonable with their money.
They've been talking they're going to start opening that war chest for the next generation.
That'd be good.
The 3DS is the first system they've taken a loss on since 2001.
I will get fully behind Nintendo if they start just, even in a subtle
way.
Spending
some money.
Getting out of their comfort zone. You know what I mean? If they start, okay, let's really see what this business has to offer, and then go different ways instead of just working on, okay, we're going to have our home console and then a version of the Game Boy. You know?
Well, the thing is, like it's not really like their consoles, even, because they can have like their 3DS and the Wii U and be fine for like next 10 years, but they got to like branch out like their franchise.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, they have their stability there and their foundation set, so now it's time for them to kind of look past that horizon to be like, okay, I see what these other people are doing. And I mean, if Nintendo's one thing, they are adamant about their vision, but it would be nice if their vision kind of got shaken up a little bit, because I think their vision of 15 years ago probably isn't the same vision that it is now. They'll say it is, and Reggie will come out and be like, we're for family entertainment, and but at the end of the day, it's but
the Wii U is like specifically trying to target like the core gamers too.
Whenever your console has dual monitor support, you're heading in the right direction. You know, that's infrastructure way. That's
although I will say we will probably see. I know there's a rumor about it, but I wouldn't be surprised if it either gets renamed or redesigned, because what we saw at E3 last year, I mean, there was enough confusion over whether the 3DS is just another DS upgrade or a new console.
Yeah.
Because A, it looks a lot like it, and B, it's called DS. So I think
right.
They got stung a bit. I mean, it still sold 5 million or whatever it was, but they got stung a little bit like that. So I think they'll either redesign it or rename it.
I think that's going to be the key in marketing in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you have to tell people, because people are generally kind of stupid.
That's true.
Well, because I can remember when it was unveiled and everybody was like, so it's just the new controller?
Yeah.
Even though it was showing
graphics that it would never show. Need to like sell it like that, too.
A lot of that, I think, was just the media kind of being the media on that one. Because a lot of them had seen it beforehand, and they were still writing stories like, we're confused, we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys are dicks.
Yeah. we're with you, gamers.
I think like the funniest thing was like I think it was Giant Bomb saying, well, the footage looks a lot like launch Xbox 360 games. They were just using like 360 and PS3 footage for those games. Which, I mean, those guys, they knew better.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
A lot of people were just like, they wanted Nintendo to take the lumps at E3.
Yeah.
Because they were disappointed in the actual presentation.
Well, it was a crap presentation, you've got to
admit. It was, but I mean, I didn't expect... Like, if you go back to the Wii reveal, too, when they showed it, they didn't show any games. And they waited until the next year to actually show off, like, Mario Galaxy, stuff like that. Because the Wii reveal's games were a Wii version of Metroid Prime 2, and I think what eventually became Wii Sports, but none of that was actually codified until the following E3. So I think people went in with expectations that we'd finally see Mario in HD, and they kind of dashed those immediately.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Especially with what's being bandied about as the Xbox 10 specs.
Yeah.
Which is an odd project name, but...
Yeah.
Which is completely
I imagine that it's because the next PlayStation is the PlayStation 9.
Yeah.
So, no, well, ours is the Xbox 10 then.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Sony just completely drop PlayStation 4 and call it an actual word this time.
Yeah.
Like they did with Vita.
I wouldn't be surprised if they just called it PlayStation.
Right, that's what I was going to say about the Xbox. People are talking about Xbox 720. I just think that they're going to call it the Xbox because even the PC, like Games for Windows, now redirects to Xbox.com, and everything's under this big Xbox branding. So they could just literally call it Xbox. It'd be really confusing for anyone that works at a game store. I need the new Xbox. Okay, which one? There's a Slimline 360, there's the other 360, and then there's that new one called Xbox.
Well, I was really hoping like the Wii U would just be introduced as the Nintendo. I thought it'd been great. The Nintendo.
Yeah.
But that would get like stupid after a couple of months.
Yeah.
It totally would, but so is all names.
Console names don't matter, and everything that we think is stupid immediately eventually becomes part of the conversation.
Yeah, like Google.
Yeah.
Who knew that Google would be a lexicon in the language of humanity now? It's like Google is not only a noun, but it's a verb.
Oh, tweeting.
Do you remember the outrage at Dreamcast?
Oh, yeah, and that's a great name. Yeah.
That is a great name now. They still wanted, like, the Mature Dark System name, like the Saturn or the Genesis.
There's no way to take that fucking thing seriously. I still hate that fucking name. especially considering like the options that we had open to us, which
didn't
the
you
katana
have the orange stuff as well.
Yeah, no, but come on, man.
Because our Dreamcast had this kind of like this blue ethereal nature to it.
No, ours was orange. Yours was blue.
If they would have called it the katana, people would think of sweaty 800-pound nerds wearing like fingerless gloves. Can I have your katana to play my video games? Like it would have just been.
You stop talking shit about katanas right now. Alright, katanas are badass.
My console can cut a tank in half.
You'd go buy it wearing a trench coat, because that's how badass you were.
you'd be able to buy console sheaths. And when you finished using it, you did that little waggle with that little kind of twist with your hand to show how cool it was before resheathing your console.
And also, they could have done cross-promotion with the movie Blade.
Yeah, Wesley Snipes is playing...
It's kind of hard to tell who's doing worse right now, Wesley Snipes or Sega.
Sega isn't in jail, so they're doing all right.
Well, no, but Wesley Snipes, you know Wesley Snipes is protected. You know he's in there. You know he's running that ring.
He made a video game, so he's doing better than Sega, at least.
Oh, that video game. Has anybody played that video game?
No.
It's the worst thing.
I assume the video game is there to teach us how to destroy the Vampire Menace.
Oh, it's not a Blade game. The Blade game was surprisingly terrible. Well, not surprisingly terrible. It was a PS1 license game. It was predictably terrible. But his new game, when he's called, he's something like, he's got the most kind of like racially stereotypical name in the world. Like his character's called like Lucius Sweet or something like that. And it's about, I can't remember what it was because I played it for about 5 minutes before throwing
my
phone.
It's about
Lucius
Sweet, baby. Come on.
And it's,
what more do you need to know? Play that
it
shit.
Either features a prison heist.
A prison
I'm sure it's got a prison heist, or you're a cop or something. I can't remember what it was. But it was like, how did they let him make this game?
Maybe he was trying to tell the public why he was in jail. He went into jail so he could have this prison heist, because there's a diamond hidden in this prison that he's got to take out.
Oh, man. See,
it's not like he's a criminal or anything.
What blows me away...
I think it was called The Bus That Couldn't Slow Down.
What blows me away is, okay, Wesley Snipes makes janky video games, yet Vin Diesel makes somewhat rad video games.
Well, no, he's made one and a half rad video game and one terrible video game.
Well, he has a 50-50 record then. That, like, that's better than...
That bad game was so bad it killed the movie.
Okay, the name of this game is amazing. Julius Stiles, : The International.
Yeah, baby.
Like the Clive Owen film about Washington, D.C.
It makes me think of the Intercontinental, the Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Walken.
What is that game about? The International what?
The
International is an isometric action adventure game where you'll guide economic hitman Julius Stiles through the world of economic espionage.
Jesus.
Wait a minute, Economic Hitman was a subtitle to like a very serious book.
Economic Hitman. No, it had to do with 9/11.
Confessions of Economic Hitman.
Yeah, it had to do with 9/11.
So basically, Economic Hitman is we can blame Wesley Snipes for the economic downturn. There.
I'd say yes. I'd say that's a practical way to go about it.
We can blame the fact that he's in jail in the economic downturn, because that motherfucker would have us back in the money if he was free.
Yeah.
You know it.
Didn't he owe something like $10 million in debt in taxes?
Yeah, he's way fucked.
The actual like synopsis for this game makes it seem like it's Wesley Snipes trying to blame people for like leading him astray.
Play your crooked avoid your crooked account manager.
Your job is to use Stiles, who is voiced by Wesley Snipes, also from jail, to persuade governments and businesses to make decisions in line with the wishes of a shadowy organization known as the Assembly. So it's you playing as Snipes trying to get the government to make bad economic decisions.
Right. It's like, I'm not the crazy one, they're the crazy ones. That's just all the game is for however long it lasts for. It's like, no, they don't understand. All that money.
So this is what Wesley Snipes does when you like strip him of money and freedom. What the fuck was this guy doing when he could do anything he wanted?
Yeah. There's no telling.
And
that's the guy. A new challenger arrives.
Brian Belita.
What's going on, everybody?
We were talking about Wesley Snipes in prison.
I heard, and I didn't want to miss this. I dropped everything when I heard that you guys were talking about Wesley Snipes, and I was like, I gotta be in on this.
Oh, we're talking about
Brian Belita.
Joe Pesci, or no?
Did you watch Dune? Dune? Did you watch Dune?
Dune doesn't.
Dune.
Yeah,
the spice.
No. Okay, see, he got it. Fuckers.
Well, it was just like you were kind of mumbling it when you were talking. It was kind of you were going, yeah, it's like that Doom movie. So I just thought the one when he gets the first person section.
Yeah, like The Rock, just running around and shooting stuff.
Wait, yeah, Dune or Doom?
Exactly.
God damn you. You hijack it.
Oh, see, we led the witness on that.
Yeah.
All right.
I apologize to our listeners because that made absolutely no damn sense.
That's the first rule of radio is to not do inside jokes on air, and we just pulled like a grand inside joke. But
IDDQD, IDKFA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Indeed.
Well, presumably we've been recording, so we may be able to like drop that in somewhere.
We might do it at the post.
Impulse 101.
In post production.
So what the hell were we talking about? Like Nintendo's fucking eternally and Sega rules?
Well, that Nintendo was I mean, is it
They're making their EA is doing their infrastructure.
Saying that there's no justice in a world where Wesley Snipes is in jail and Sega aren't.
Yeah. That was how we got on that tangent. That's right.
Next time I play do a playthrough of Skyrim, I'm going to make my character Wesley Snipes.
Awesome. Just have a good talk.
Yeah.
Make sure he only kills vampires, like exclusively vampires.
It's going to take a while to level.
He needs to kill everyone else, yeah.
Oh my god, Arkham City will unlock in 3 hours.
Oh boy.
Yay.
The fact that there's no preload for this kind of pisses me off.
What is it, 18 gigs?
Yep.
We're so spoiled by preloads, and it's great, it's a wonderful thing.
Raise suspicions, really, that it's not going to unlock in 3 hours.
Doesn't it bother you people that you're like, you're preloading these games and you just, and they... data is sitting on your computers and you can't do anything with it?
Right.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah, it
they're doing it with console games now, though. Like Modern Warfare, if you played it before a certain time, you would get banned from Xbox Live until the game came out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but that's because you bought it before. Like,
man, I was at a gas station the other day and I saw the little, like, buy Doritos, level up double XP.
Oh, God, yeah. Mountain Dew.
Yeah, every bag gets double XP.
I proceeded to just take the gasoline nozzle, douse myself.
I got a bag of Doritos right here. This isn't about double XP. Right. This is horse shit.
And that's the last thing I want while I'm playing Modern Warfare is just hear people eating Doritos as they're I can't find the code. Where is it? Is it on the inside of the bag? And then they
hop. Actually, it's on one of the chips.
Yeah. Oh no. Damn it.
How does that make you feel better as a player though? That you're only winning because your fingers are covered in orange dust?
Yeah, man. You just got that sprinkle on there. Yeah. Oh. It's like, and at the end of the day, to me, Doritos dust is like that ramen noodle packet that they give you. You know what I mean? Just filled with
the flavor packet?
Yeah, the flavor packet filled with like potpourri or whatever the fuck they put in there, because man, it's gross. It's just
What are you talking about? Like the best part of like eating the bag of Doritos is waiting for like the bag of Doritos dust to be hidden in the corner of your empty bag and you just upend that bitch.
How dare you?
That
I think your
amazing.
Doritos are quite different to ours because ours maintain their structural integrity quite well.
they're made out of bananas.
they're engineered. Much
yeah.
Yeah.
Proper British engineering. They taste like shit, but you know they're triangular.
They're mathematically proven. Before they put each individual chip into the bag, it goes through a lab study where they hold it up to specific lights and they're like, yes.
It's an isosceles. Toss it out.
Our Dorito system that allows for like Doritos to like bend back upon each other and like get multiple Doritos stuck in one Dorito, like a Rat King with its like tails like twined together, just get like this huge King Dorito.
See, I'd be all about it if they came back with the Doritos 3D. Those little puffy.
Fuck yeah, those are amazing.
And they're like, here, inside it's like a fortune cookie. Get your bite into it and then pull a piece of paper with your double XP code.
Right, exactly, with your Modern Warfare code.
But some of them might have traps in there. Right. Human teeth.
Yeah, human teeth, rat poison. You have to pick the right one.
Some codes will actually delete your character off
of shit.
It's not just like Modern Warfare. I'm sure Uncharted 3 was doing this with Mountain Dew as well, or something?
Yeah, they have
Subway. No, it's a Subway.
Subway, yeah.
It was, like, ridiculously stupid, because, like, your default character would wear a Subway t-shirt.
Can you keep that in the full game?
Probably. Oh, I think I saw it on all of the unlocks. Yeah.
I would just make my guy the Subway guy.
To be fair, at least that's better than like the Xbox Live avatar stuff where you actually have to pay a huge multi-billion dollar corporation to get advertising to put on your fucking avatar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got a barbecue for my avatar.
Wait, like a...
Damn.
Yeah, like a he's grilling away and a little kind of floaty robot from Halo is giving him a buzz as well.
Okay, I can't really disagree
him a
with
buzz?
That.
Yeah, like he's just buzzing
is that
around
British
space.
For a handy? I just... got these cheeseburgers. I got these fish and chips, man.
My avatar be smiling too, man.
Man, I give you a buzz, man.
I came home to my girlfriend some fish and chips and got a buzz out of it.
Oh, while you're on here, while you're talking about some crazy guy giving people handjobs, let me send you this deal. Should I read this, Imran, the thing from the Royal Caribbean Cruise?
Well, now that we've mentioned it, we kind of have to.
Yeah, no. Okay. Yes. Okay, I'm going to read this. Okay, here's the review. I'll read it. He gave it 4 out of 5 stars. 10 people found this review very helpful. And he says, the past 2 visits to this resort were absolutely excellent. No problems whatsoever. The perfect place to lap up some Caribbean sunshine in the cottage. And the cottages are so authentic, particularly the ones that are set on the beachfront. Perfect. However, oh, here we go. Beware of a man named Bruce who sails into the resort.
That's always a great story.
Here we go. Gotta listen to the whole thing, man. Beware of a man named Bruce who sails into the resort every day on his canoe selling keepsakes. He will befriend you. But he is not the nice guy he seems. He befriended my brother, who was on holiday with 18 close friends and family members to celebrate my daughter's wedding and my birthday. Then, sadly, the day after we returned home, my brother committed suicide.
What?
Because he was afraid of being blackmailed by this man and his accomplice.
Yes, this review is very helpful.
And then room tip.
People thought so.
But right after this fucking shattering reveal, it says, beach cottages are wonderful. Well worth the extra money to upgrade.
Specifically, cottages 7 to 11.
Oh my, what
like
the fuck?
Here's the individual ratings are kind of these, because like value, location, sleep quality, rooms, and cleanliness all got 4 out of 5 stars. The one thing that the reviewer knocked the place on was service, which only got 3. Now I wonder if like that was related to the crazy like manipulative sociopath within this canoe to come and destroy your life.
Like what? In that case, why do you want to give it a 3? Yeah. That's like, well, this guy kind of ruined my life, but I mean the Mai Tais were brought right to the pool.
Yeah, and Imran pointed out that 4 people found this review helpful.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't see that if he marks it down because of this Bruce, that's a fair thing for the hotel. Because it's clear that he's
Bruce isn't
not
affiliated
part of the resort.
With this hotel.
Yeah. Bruce is his own man.
Like Bruce it's not like you can give like Bruce a separate review. So, like, if the hotel isn't going to do anything about Bruce, who's just going around destroying people, then maybe they should be responsible for this show.
What was he blackmailing him
for?
I think it's kind of quite ominous that he's saying, like, we're being blackmailed by this man, and, like, the beach cottages are amazing, especially cottages 7 to 11. It's like, what mangled, chopped-up corpses are under those particular cottages?
Or what kind of buzz from another dude did this guy get? next to a barbecue. Bruce
and his unnamed accomplice. What was accomplices like?
See, everyone keeps saying Bruce, and it makes me keep thinking of Batman and Robin.
I
like, Batman just gathering data on all these beachgoers, just in case.
I just keep thinking of Bruce Campbell.
where did this accomplice come from? Because I'm assuming this is a kind of canoe for one person.
And what kind of blackmail is it? Like, we were asking, like, is his brother the mayor? Like, what does he have to be that afraid of? Like, what happened at that resort?
My assumption is Bruce seduced him. Because that's a logical answer.
I think you're right.
Because his name is Bruce.
But that's also kind of boring.
Yeah. And I don't
think
I don't know.
I still think they killed the waitress by accident.
Or not even by accident. They just had her wait.
But of course, this has to be done in the voice of like a Caribbean guy. It's got to be, I don't know.
Oh, now I'm picturing the commercials where they're playing those little like maraca stuff. You see Bruce in the background. Hey.
Right, I'm imagining writing this ad for like, come on down to Royal Decameron Club Caribbean. We've got a great place for you. Our bungalows are very authentic. Then it pans by this man in a canoe waving, hey, I'm Bruce.
Hello.
And as it comes onto me, slowly puts the knife away behind his back.
Right, but he was actually cutting a coconut in half, maybe.
Yeah, you just hear
Bruce's discount therapy.
Oh, yeah. His taxi service.
And Bruce's discount therapy and coconuts.
Free coconut with every therapy session.
man.
Feel, go ahead, tell me all your secrets. It's cool.
It's laced with LSD.
I will play that video game.
Wesley Snipes should make that video game.
Oh, man. Yeah, him and Vin Diesel should form a game studio together.
See,
him and Vin Diesel should
this is remake how we got, Demolition. This is how we got started this damn conversation. Vin Diesel's studio. Jesus.
What about Vin Diesel's studio?
I believe one of us said that like he only made like 1.5 good games.
Yeah. The Riddick right. games.
Yes.
The second Riddick game was a remake of the first Riddick game, wasn't it?
No, it was also a second.
It had the remake built in, but then it had a whole extra campaign, which right, was about the same length.
Well, there was Dark Athena and Escape from Butcher Bay.
Yeah,
Escape from Butcher Bay came first, and then that got remade, but bundled with Dark Athena. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which is fine. You know what? That's fine. Like, if you have to, because you could completely ignore Dark Athena and like. If you never played Escape from Butcher Bay before, then it's amazing. It's easily worth the price playing it.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
It's one of my favorite games. I would have to say
it's really good.
You know how they were describing Batman as this predator kind of. It's a unique stealth because you're this predator in Batman.
Yeah,
it was Bruce doing that. And he's blackmailing ways. Yeah,
and shanking people left and right.
But it was this playing as the Predator before Arkham Asylum came out and claimed to have invented it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, the henchmen would just completely freak out. You'd shoot out with lights. It's great.
And then there's one bit when you know those cargo elevators that you see in Metal Gear Solid?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When they're just kind of like those big, massive kind of sledges that just go up and down mountains?
Yeah.
There's a bit reasonably near the end of Butcher Bay when it's on that, and you get caught on one of that, and they just keep pouring troops in
and lighting up
the area, and you just have to keep kind of taking out the lights, but you never feel that you're going to get overwhelmed. You always feel like, you just come kind of feeling, come at me, bro, type of thing. There's always
you always feel like you are the predator in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, they're pouring in these men because the guys at the top are desperate that you don't get to the top.
You know, I can't remember any single moment out of Dark Athena. I think that's like the worst part about it. It's like it wasn't bad. It was just like completely
non-forgettable.
Yeah, it was completely forgettable. Just completely mediocre, which is really sad considering the incredible quality of the first game.
Vin Diesel,
yeah,
stabbing things and getting stabbed in the neck to heal himself.
Yeah, and then he made the Wheel Man, which was so bad it killed the Wheel Man movie.
Right.
I think I blocked out the Wheel Man from my mind because I don't want Vin Diesel to be associated with anything that awful. And
it's
I say
the one
that
where
after
you can flip your cars in the air and then take over somebody else's car.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool moment.
That was the only cool moment.
Yeah.
The rest of the game was entirely benign and pointless.
And also it had geometry you could just drive straight through.
So speaking of British people and David being here, there's a new This Week in Skyrim up on nextbeard.com, and David actually submitted a couple pretty rad photos, one of which he turns a fellow into a pincushion with arrows.
That looked pretty awesome. I looked at that.
Which isn't really so much jank as it is evidence of David's rage.
Yeah.
I get arrows stuck in me all the time. I have to, like, do the sex change console command. Just to get rid of him.
My favorite photo that I showed you was the horse on the ramparts.
Yes, I love that. There's something
amazing
about that photo. Just the horse just staring like, durr.
He's guarding the people of that city.
Yeah, he was. Man, I fought a dragon at, where was I? I think at Wintering.
DragonCon.
Winterheld? Winterhole?
Yeah.
What is it called?
There's a.
Winterfell.
Winterfell.
I'm getting my George R. R. Martin.
There's Windhelm and Whiterun.
Yeah.
Windhelm. That's where I was. I was south, just south of the Mage College.
Wintermage?
Yes.
Wintermage, yes.
Anyway, so I fought a dragon there, and I had, like, just decided to buy a horse. Like, I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll buy a horse. And man, this dragon hated my fucking horse. I was firing fireballs left and right at this dragon. And this dragon was just ignoring me and all the other guards there, firing, you know, arrows at him from the bridge. And he was just molesting my horse. He just kept spraying ice at my horse. And so I did a quick save, like right before I was charging in to do the killing blow, and I tried like over and over again because each time he managed to kill my horse before I got him. But eventually I got it, and I was like, I just spent good money on this horse. I'm not gonna let him die, Jerry.
So did you drag the horse back to the owner or to the place you bought it from?
No, the dragon has aggroed on you. Is it possible to like shake the dragon or do anything to keep the dragon from murdering you without killing the dragon?
Apparently, if there are a lot of people around and you have a pretty good sneak skill or your sneak reading side,
I've killed dragons without it ever actually seeing me before because it's focused on guards, and because my sneak's like at 100, I can just walk up and backstab it to death.
Yeah. I've done that by using Fury, which is like one of the illusion spells. You know, if you cast Fury, like the dude will aggro
people
and then
fight
other
thing. People. Yeah.
Yeah. So like walked upon like this fort, which is full of evil mages. Of course, I didn't realize that because those assholes wear black as the nighttime, and rolled on these guys. Yeah, they're fuckers. And like naturally, there's a dragon up there. So I said, well, I gotta get the fuck out of here. But there's a castle full of mages in front of me. I can't do both. So like cast Fury on one of the guys on the parapet, and naturally, he aggroes on the dragon, then his buddy aggroes on the dragon. They decide to have a great big old dragon fight.
Nice.
So, So I got all the dragon loot without having to do anything, but I'm just curious if I should get away from him.
And never underestimate the healing powers of a tankard full of solid cheese.
I saw that. I was like, the fuck?
It was the weirdest thing. Like, I took the screenshot, and I was like, oh, man, this is hilarious. This guy's foot is in a bucket. And then I walked around to that guy, and I was like, wait a second. What? There is some weird shit going on. There's cheese on the floor. His foot's in a bucket. I think she's eating a piece of cheese.
It's a delicious, one fun wacky land.
Right. The best of loon of the damned.
Yeah.
Is that they're the one staring at you like you've done something wrong?
Oh, see, you know what would be brilliant is if we find out like a few months from now that you're actually like diseased with something, and then that's why you see all this janky shit, is you're like actually sick, like off of skooma or something, and you're like, why are they? Oh, he's drinking cheese. What the fuck's going on? Oh, that'd be. I would pass Bethesda and just keep it a secret.
There were no dragons. You just.
He's a guy.
Yeah. You just.
You can buy.
Everyone's been trying to tell you the entire time, but you've just been writing it off.
You can buy dogs as like pet dogs as well, like you know those warhounds. Like, and you buy one, and the guy's like, they're great companions, and they're really handy in a fight. So I thought, okay, I'll buy one. I'm loaded. Walked out, went through the gate. Dragon drops from the sky, kills my dog in two hits. And then fucks off into the atmosphere. And it's like, can I get a refund? I haven't even called it a name yet.
There's a great article up on Rock Paper Shotgun about how one of the guys, I can't remember who it was that wrote it. I will find out as I speak. But about how he was doing like some quest, and he had taken Lydia as like, you know, his companion to help out as a mercenary or whatever, and. And at one point, like, he mistakenly kills her or something. And so there's this whole long story about, you know, how she didn't die and she helped so much. And then he mistakenly kills her. So he drags her back up this mountain to drop her into the tomb of this thing that popped out and fought them and then kind of caused her death. I don't know what reminded me of that, but it was pretty funny.
And then,
but also sad.
Did he drink poison over her deceased body?
No, he tried to reanimate her like with the spell, and then it says like Lydia is too strong for reanimation.
I've mentioned this to a few of you, but especially Cammy, Wes, rather. You know the beggars in the towns?
Yeah.
They're always asking you for a bit of
this
gold.
This is the saddest thing.
This is a really sad story, really. But I always gave this one guy a bit of gold, basically because, I mean, from a gaming perspective, you always get a buff when you give beggars gold. You get, I forget what it's called, but you always get a buff to some of your stats.
Yeah.
So I always gave him a bit of gold. And then one time he was outside the city and a dragon dropped out. Mm-hmm. And as I was fighting the dragon, he got killed And I don't know whether I killed him or someone else killed
him. But apparently you didn't know that he had gotten killed at the time. Like, you killed this dragon.
No. I killed this dragon and just kind of, like, wandered off. And then a few days later, I was kind of on the other side of the map. And this courier runs up to me. And I've not mentioned this before, but he was just in his underpants. that's nothing to do with the story. That's just, why is this guy charging at me and he's just in his underpants? But anyway.
That's how you roll.
And he handed me a note, and it was off this beggar guy. And it was the guy's will. And he'd left me everything he had because I was the only person that ever noticed him. And it was only like 90 gold, which is not much, really.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then I stabbed the underpants courier in the face. <It's> like,
oh, come on now.
Well, if he's going to run around in his pants.
You might get his will, too. Yeah. You'll get his pants. Like.
So you can't kill the children
in this game. Of my pantlessness.
You can't kill the children in this game, right?
Correct. Now you can. They put a mod in because
Well, that's a mod, but in vanilla
I don't know what it is with Bethesda making invincible children that are the most annoying little bastards.
They're annoying. They're just mouthy little shits. Yeah. It's
they were killable in like the original first draft of Fallout 3, and I think they got some controversy on it.
Yeah. I'm hoping maybe in this you can just kind of like pile up cabbages around a child and just block them. Maybe. I don't know. But if it's anything like Deus Ex, because at one point in Deus Ex Human Revolution, I like surrounded this guy with vending machines. It's just a normal person. He obviously didn't have super strength or anything. And he just walks
out.
Calmly walks out and they just like move around him. He just pushes them out. And I was like, well, fuck.
I like how the stealth kind of works in the same way as Human Revolution in Skyrim, as in you block their sight by any means.
Yeah, and then you can do whatever you want.
They can't see. Which basically in Human Revolution it meant building walls with cardboard boxes. In Skyrim it means putting buckets on people's heads.
That reminds me. There's that mission that you do for the little boy that wants you to kill his old orphanage master.
I just got that mission.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. Like, because whenever you said line of sight, basically the way I did it is I just use primarily bow and arrows. So I went into the orphanage, and that lady's a bitch. Like, she's a bitch and a half. So I walked in, and all the kids are there like, oh, hello, visitor. Oh, no, we can't be adopted right now. And then I'm like, oh, great, that's sad. And then I walk by him, and she's sitting at a table, and she's like, are you here to scare me? So I shut the door and just shot her in the face with a bow and arrow, like one arrow, and it killed her. And then everyone stormed into the room, and I had this like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air moment where I still had my bow out and I like hit it behind my back. I'm like, God, guys! And then there's this weird pause. Like, everyone was looking at me, and the other orphanage master like ran in the room, and everyone was staring at me. And then there's this silence, and I was like, oh God, oh God. And all the kids go, hooray, yay! She's dead, yeah! And I was like, really? Let's celebrate.
Because that's the quest that spoilers that's here, so awesome. I don't know. It's not too spoilery.
The Dark Brotherhood start, right?
Yeah, it starts the Dark Brotherhood. You get a kind of note a few days later and then go to sleep after that.
Yeah.
And that kicks off the whole Dark Brotherhood thing. But I walked into that and I just kind of thought, I heard her being a real bitch to the kids, so I just thought, you know what, I'm going to deal with you now. And I walked up to her and I told you about that awful kill animation I saw.
Yeah.
And it was that, and it was kind of like, she brought up her hands to block, because you know when it kind of cuts to the third person. She brought up her hands to block, kind of like, I stabbed her through the hands with one dagger.
Oh, God.
And then with the other dagger, just stabbed her about 40 times. And it was like, oh, my God. And then all the kids, there was like that beat, and then all the kids just started cheering, and I just thought, all right, kids, you kind of fucked up.
Like, that's fucking creepy when you go into the house and the kid's like, in the name of the mother, let the big one, the old ones released. Yeah.
Well, that's so weird. But then if you find that book, because I think you can find the book like right next to him, but you can also find the book just randomly in there, and it has that exact prayer in it, what he was saying. And I was like, yeah, that's actually really good attention to detail.
Well, the one thing, and I know Kevin Snow, the writer and main guy behind Brave Mule, the Dwarf Fortress LP, he posted up on the platforms that he keeps doing Daedric quests without realizing it. And it's the same thing for me. Like, I think I mentioned this, and I don't know. I guess I don't really want to spoil it, but whatever. If you guys have been to Mark Earth, right, already?
Yeah.
The old Mercy.
I just got done with that last night.
Okay, so did you... Did you end up like going into prison?
Yes, and like, okay. But before that, I went into the abandoned house. That's the right city for that, right?
Maybe. Yes, I think so.
It's the city that's in kind of like the big ruin.
Yeah, the one where you go into the abandoned house with the witch hunter.
Yes,
there's the big.
Yes, that was amazing. But yeah, so anyway, so the Silverbloods are these hoity-toity assholes, jerk-offs in Markarth. And I thought, all right, I'm going to go into prison. I'm going to help this king in rags bust out and toss out the Silverbloods. Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. It'll be a revolution. And I ended up leading this Daedric uprising, and now they're hell bent on taking over the entire Reach. And it was a complete mistake. I thought I was doing, but it was great. I was like, I could have reloaded, you know. But it was amazing.
They're getting very good at intertwining the interactive storytelling about, like, okay, you guys have been past the house that burned down, right?
Yeah.
And right next to it is – there's nothing there, right? The complete house is burned down and a few feet –
Oh, wait. There's the village with the house burnt down, and then is there a separate house? Because the one I've seen is in the middle of a town.
Right. The one I've seen is actually in the wilderness. And, it might be the same type of thing. I don't think I've seen the one in the city. But right a little bit outside of it, you see kind of this very like an alchemy symbol, like made out of sticks and stuff on the ground. And then you look around, and there was a tombstone over on one side, and then there's a skeleton over on another side. And then you're like, oh, this guy tried to do black magic to bring back somebody and fucking killed himself and burned his house down. Like, so you walk.
Oh, yeah, there's loads of things like that as well.
Like those Lucky Lorenz.
Lucky Lorenz and the tree fell on his house.
The tree fell on his house, yeah.
But then like, I was exploring like the far north where it breaks to the water, and I kind of saw a load of fire going off in the distance, so I thought, yeah, fuck yeah, it's a dragon, I'm gonna go and kill it. And it was just kind of like there was this charred corpse lying in the center, and there was this book, and it was a spell tome called, and it was like, I think it's like the spell for the most powerful fire spell in the game. It's like, obviously, this person cast it on themselves,
attempted, right? Yeah,
yeah, because it's just like, man, there's just like burnt waste for about 20 feet surrounding them.
But yeah, so
like,
but yeah,
I'm
there,
not
there's
actually
some...
ever gonna use this one.
There's some amazing quests. It's such a brilliant game. But I will say this: if you have a chance to play a drinking game with the guy in Whiterun, do it.
I've heard what happened. Just, I didn't do it, but I heard what did it. And yeah,
it was the ending blew my mind. But it was fantastic. It was so great. Yeah. So I guess yeah. Let's take a break. And maybe talk about more Skyrim after that.
We'll talk about some Skyward Sword. We're going to talk about Metal Gear Solid 5 and Kojima being back on it. And just random odds and ends, but we'll be right back.
Cue the guile music.
Reep-a-deep-dee.
Is that like... Is that the guile music?
Is a scat man.
Tenacious D covers the guile theme. Hey everybody, welcome back. It's episode number 63 of the Beardcast, and now we got a full freaking crew, because Brian Belita's here for the...
You busted in like the Kool-Aid man, digitally. Oh yeah!
Just said deal with it and kick the door down, as the guile theme played. But yeah, we're back. I know we have a lot to talk about on what we've been playing, but first let's...
I just want to break in. I just saw the ad for Need for Speed, the run. And during this ad, there was a magazine quote, because they got, like, exactly one good review for this fucking video game, and it was from Stuff Magazine, whoever the hell Stuff Magazine is. And it says, 5-5, the best and biggest Need for Speed of all time. I just want to leave that out there, and
wow,
we can move on with our lives. Yeah.
I mean, the trailer is longer than the game.
It's like, Pursuit of Happiness, the Will Smith movie, where they literally play the entire film in the trailer.
Does he get the job? Yes, he does.
Oh, he did! He found another way to hang up the phone faster than other people, yeah. So he got more phone calls. Great. That's American ingenuity at its finest. let's do the really quick news things before we get into what we've been playing, because something tells me we'll have a lot of Saints Row stories and stuff like that. But this first one is there was a interview on GameRevolution.eu or GameReactor. My bad. GameReactor.eu with Katase,
he's the general producer for Final Fantasy now, I think.
Yeah. And they had kind of an interview with him, like, okay, well, Final Fantasy 13 wasn't quite the success you guys wanted. What do you think needs to happen to the Final Fantasy franchise? You know, and I'm paraphrasing here, of course. What do you think needs to happen with the franchise in order to make it come back to its success that it had in the past? He was like, well, I think yearly installments would really help. And my face planted so hard, I smashed my keyboard. Like, the keys flew up off of it. Because if he thinks that's going to solve the problem with Final Fantasy 13 is that it didn't come out soon enough.
I kind of agree, though.
It didn't help that it didn't come out soon enough.
He said 1 to 2 years. He said 1 to 2 years. And 2 years was how it was back in the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what they're doing now. Because he's not saying a mainline necessarily. But he's saying, like, Final Fantasy 13 to 13-2 to Versus to whatever's after that.
Yeah.
But I think...
I was about to say, have we had a year 13? Where Final Fantasy didn't release?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking about, like, specific quality, there's been a 4-year gap from 12 to 13.
Yeah. There's a 4-year gap between... Let's see. There was a 4-year gap between 6
and... I think a lot of the problems with 13 came from a long time. There was no deadline. It was just released whenever.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it was, we got to get this game out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of actual, like, focused development time, it maybe had 2 years.
Yeah. That's true.
Which is kind of fucked up considering...
So I think if they go in and they say, you've got 2 years to get this done, from story to release, get it done, I think that would actually help them a lot.
That's true.
It would focus them a lot more. And it would get away from needless cutscenes where the 12-year-old kid bites his tongue for the 100,000th time at the man who killed his mother. Just fucking shout at him. He's right there, you little twat.
Yeah.
I fucking hated that.
And then he does it like the least opportune time possible.
Of course.
He's like hanging off a cliff. He's like, you killed my mom.
It's like, it's not the time, mate.
but
talk this out just later.
Because the first thing I thought of is whenever he was like, oh, it's because we don't come out soon enough. I was like, all the reviews and my personal experience, never once did I say, oh, if this came out a year earlier, I would have loved it. No.
But that's kind of true, though. Like, among reviewers, if something takes a long time, they're more likely to be critical of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're not talking, you know, because you have to think.
Final Fantasy 13.
So hold on. I have to bring this up. I thought I saw a post on the platformers. I don't recall who it was from, who was saying that. I think David knows what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
Saying that.
Dragon Age 2?
Yes. The only reason Skyrim has been reviewed so favorably is because. Maybe not the only reason, but one of the reasons it's been reviewed so favorably is because there was a large lapse of time since Oblivion. And that, say, if Dragon Age 2 was just held on to for another 3 or 4 years, that it would have done, I can't remember if he said as well or better.
Hasn't there been, like Fallout, every year there's been a Fallout since then?
Yeah.
But
well, not only that, but I'm fairly sure, even though I haven't played it, but I think I've heard enough about it, that Dragon Age 2 was just kind of a bad game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, it was. It was
Poop Mountain.
It was conceptually bad rather than...
Right.
Well, it's broken. Bad enough that BioWare admits that they fucked up badly.
But they don't, though.
No,
that's the thing. They're like, no, we were just too real for people.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're sorry.
It's too real, man.
We're sorry you didn't like it. We'll make a game for you morons next time.
Yeah.
It's not the way to apologize.
They're going to make a game for the other morons.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Exactly. The exact quote was like, people were not prepared for the innovation we gave them. And I laughed. Oh my God. Like, that made my whole day. I just like going
The next time I break up with someone, I'm going to use that line.
Yeah.
Like you weren't just prepared for my innovation and relationship.
It's kind of like those. What's your main weakness? Well, my main weakness is I'm too awesome.
Yeah, I don't have any weaknesses.
People won't be able to handle how amazingly awesome I am. Like I blow people away, and just people can't handle that. It's like, no, the game is shit.
But that's perfect. I guess the thing I got from Katase whenever he said that, oh, I think to solve the problem, we should make another problem. It came off kind of as the BioWare where you weren't ready for our innovation. It came off sort of backwards to me because, okay, there was a four-year gap. Was it 4 or 5 years between Final Fantasy VI and VII? Because VI came out in
95?
It came out in 95?
It's either 5 or 4. Yeah. But, I mean, VII came out in 97. So.
Well, they could get like 3 Final Fantasy games out every console generation. And that was back
then. Which is like 6 Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah.
They also had, they had different teams back then, and now they've got, like, a Kingdom Hearts team, which is making Versus, so they can't make more Kingdom Hearts. So they have the other Kingdom Hearts team, which is Jupiter, which I would rather have them make other things, because The World Ends With You is amazing, and they should go back to making that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't know. It seems, because I agree with what you guys are saying, though. If they did have a set time limit, they would be forced to be more creative.
On the other hand, well, like, if you look at other stuff,
it's not creative,
Square Enix
does, it's the kind of development methodologies they use. They've got to set time to get this done. They can't kind of feature creep and then have to delete it all because it's not finished anyway.
Yeah.
They've got to focus on a certain thing.
They specifically told them, like, Wada gave them a time of 2 years, 3 years. And they're like, you got to finish this Deus Ex in time. And they were like, okay, we need another year. And he was like, fine, do it. Take the other year.
Right.
And that ended up making a much better game in the end.
Yeah.
But if you did that with the Final Fantasy team, they would spin their wheels for that extra year.
Well, I think that's because it's with the Deus Ex team, we've been working on it a year, we need another year to polish it. Whereas if like the Final Fantasy team has said, this is what we've got in a year, and it's a full complete game, but we can make it better. But I think what happened with 13 was, this is what we've got, and it's just us dicking around with corridors.
It spent too long making the engines, which is one of the problems when you're the developer of the engine as well. Because you have the developers who should be making gameplay decisions and, you know, actually developing the textures and the artwork and all that stuff.
I was about to say, this seems like a problem specific to, like, Japanese developers because they have to sit there and, like, reinvent the wheel every single time they want to make a video game.
Capcom managed it. Capcom managed it by making MT Framework and making everything work on that.
And Square Enix should have managed it because they've got Crystal Tools sitting right there. Have they done that?
I think 13.2 is using it, but they've been talking about
the one that they made Deus Ex with and the Tomb Raider games. What was that called? What was that engine?
Well, that's Eidos engine, yeah.
Yeah, because they had that pre-cooked and ready to go, basically.
If they learned how to use Unreal 3, then it would probably be a lot better. They say they're going to use in the future.
Yeah, they said they mentioned it in that interview.
They're going to use in the future now that the new hardware is going to come out.
Well, I mean, Unreal 4 is probably not going to be that much different.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it was a mainly situation where the things that Unreal 3 is good at, like 24-hour help service, aren't going to be that helpful for a Japanese developer.
Correct. And that's Kitase actually mentioned that by name because they're like, what about Unreal Ed? And he was like, it's a great engine. There's a lot of complex stuff we can do with it, but we're not making a shooter. I mean, he just came out and bluntly said, like, it's great for a shooter, not for an RPG. And I was like,
Blood Remnant wasn't a bad game. And the problem is, it was a PC game they tried to port to 360 and then port later back to PC.
Right, exactly.
So the 360 version just ran terribly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it got a bad rep. Because I've got it. I've played Last Remnant. I really like it. Actually.
Yeah.
It's a surprisingly good game. Surprisingly good looking game as well.
Don't ever actually watch the story.
Oh, really?
Like the whole thing with the kid and he's like constantly whining at the, what's his name?
Well, I skip those cutscenes on principle anyway.
That's what I'm saying. Skip those cutscenes. The story is terrible, but the battle system is amazing.
Because as soon as he charged in, I skipped it from the first when he charged into a full battle screaming about his sister. And it's like,
because he thought some old lady was his sister.
Yeah, there's people getting murdered all around you, kid. You might want to back off for a bit.
And then it turns out he's magic because Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
Indeed.
Although, to be fair, at least he wasn't off in the secret ruins that he promised never to go in while the evil empire burnt down his village.
You go there eventually.
Oh, do you? Oh, okay.
Yes. Speaking of magical Japanese, Hideo Kojima has come out and said that he is going to be
a magical Japanese person.
Yeah, that he is indeed a shaman. No, that he's probably going to be working on Metal Gear Solid 5.
I'd find it hard to must after 4. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean,
four, if it comes out and it's good, I'll play it. But
yeah, 4 closes.
No, I'm not anticipating it anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
See, if it's curious acid for PSP, I'll love him.
I'm curious.
I guess like, Vita PS3, honestly.
I care if like they just moved completely like moved away to like something apart from like the big boss storyline.
Yeah. If they
just make there's plenty of room in that universe they can explore. Just tell a different story.
Metal Gear
Konami's
Racer.
Not gonna let him. I'm that's what I'm betting.
Yeah.
That Konami is going to have them cure Snake's aging process.
Right. I mean, look how hard it is to get a Luigi game off the ground because Nintendo knows that Mario is their cash cow.
Right, so we're not going to get a Metal Gear Racer, is what you're saying.
Probably not, unless it's made by like some.
I am sure we've had a Metal Gear character in a racer before.
YY Racers for GBA.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Ninja, wasn't it?
I don't know how I knew that.
Yeah. Well done, Imran.
There we go.
But I'm with Imran here. Like, after 4, the thing with the storyline that I was interested in for over a decade is done. Like, that story's done for me. And to me, I don't know. To me, this feels like, because we always hear him say, this is my last one. You know, it's like Ric Flair going into retirement 10 times and then coming back. Yeah. And it's
because he didn't take it for his money and, like, got another divorce.
Something's happening. And, I mean, and you guys brought up a good point before we started recording that, you know, he's kind of at a mercy of his creation. And I told you guys that I was going to make a Vern Troyer analogy, the little man from the Austin Powers series.
This isn't about his penis, is it?
No. Well, no. but I see Vern Troyer, you know, because he's not big on his character of Mini-Me right now. He's trying to make amends, and he's trying to do other acting projects, and he's trying.
Right.
Didn't he make a porn movie at one point?
Yes, but he's dismissing Mini-Me. But I know in 10 years he will show up to Comic-Con dressed as Mini-Me. Because
it's gonna be a Bill Shatner situation.
Well, exactly. He's going to come back. You're gonna be the guy. You know, you're gonna embrace the thing that made you popular. You're going to go for your 10-year stint of like, no, well, I'm more than just Mini-Me. But then at the end of the day, you're going to look in your closet, you're going to see the suit, you're going to look at it and be like, you know what, that gave me a good life. Let me embrace it. And I think Kojima has to come to that realization soon enough. Like, okay, I'm not going to get away from Metal Gear, so I might as well make the best of this.
I mean,
as long as they stop using his name for other games, I'll be happy.
Yeah. I mean, as disappointed as I was with Metal Gear 4, and I was incredibly disappointed with it, Peace Walker won me back.
Yep.
And I know Imran can't play it because he's got horribly disfigured hands or whatever.
I have the PS3 version now. I should play it or something.
Dude,
you should. It's amazing.
It is so good.
Did they fix the camera to make it useful with the DualShock?
Controls exactly like Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to it. That's all I need. Like, Metal Gear Solid 3 was my favorite controlling. I know people hate the controls for that. Even, like, Subsistence seemed weird to me.
Well, because the Metal Gear Solid games have always had stupid controls because they use the Japanese conventions. And
with the X's and O's.
Yeah, which is... Well, I think they fixed it for 4, right? They finally realized that was really
4
dumb.
Weirded me out, because I kept wanting to hit a face button to, like, melee, and it wanted me to hit, like, R1.
Yep.
It's
really bizarre, because, yeah, that is the difference between Japanese development and... in Grand Theft Auto, you hit the triangle or the, you know, Y button, and not only do you run to a car... You bust out the windshield, you get in the car, you start the car, and now you're driving, all with one button hit. But with Metal Gear, in order to pull out your gun, you need to hold R2 and then shift over, and then you get the...
I kind of prefer that, because, you know, with the Grand Theft Auto system, basically it's just hitting Y to watch a cutscene that you have no part in. This isn't part of the game. For, like, the next 5 seconds, you're sitting there watching animation.
Yeah, but considering the amount of cars you steal, you really want to have to go through a combo every time you take one.
Right. That's a good point.
I mean...
One thing about what we're talking about the Kojima thing is, like, supposedly, like, the dangling carrot is that at some point Konami will let him make another Zone of the Enders, right?
He's been teasing it a lot. Like, he tweeted photos of a logo that says Zone of the Enders 3DS. Mm-hmm. And I can't help, like, I assume Konami's waiting to see how well the HD collection is.
Exactly, yeah. To see if there's actually people wanting Zone of
Which it's not going to. I mean, people, they're going to be fatigued on HD collections in general by that point.
Well, and, yeah.
Well, they can market it, but, you know, we're talking about Konami here. Yeah. But, I mean, they say, oh, here's this lost PlayStation 2 classic that you guys never took part in. Like, they can, it'd be like the Shadow of the Colossus collection when they just convince themselves it's a bigger deal than it probably is.
Right. Because I think there is something to be said for the HD collections. Just because, I don't know, it's an ease of use thing for me. I don't mind spending the money to be able to not have to dust off an old system to play on a TV that wasn't built to play old systems.
Yeah, that's a big issue. Yeah. I think it's also important, like, to just keep concepts alive in, like, in the public's mind.
Right.
Because, you know, those are important concepts that need to be kept around. It's like we can always have Blade Runner, right? Because, you know, our systems always be able to play Blade Runner. Well, you know, it's going to be very difficult for me to sit down and play, example is escaping my mind, but like, let's say a Dreamcast exclusive that never actually made its way over. It's like, unless you own that hardware, you are never going to be exposed to that game, and you're going to be exposed to that concept.
Right.
And also, I mean, Final Fantasy kind of at least proved to me that there are certain games I will buy no matter what kind of...
Yeah.
I will
buy them again and again and again and again. Yeah.
Like, Square can do whatever the hell they want as long as they produce that at some point.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they'll ever. They'll make that after the 7 remake.
Yeah. No.
That sounds like something they would do.
They probably would. What they need to do is just get it. Okay, here's Final Fantasies 1-6 all on one disc. Then here's Final Fantasies. Yeah, exactly. Because then they couldn't make separate money on them later for other systems.
See, they don't understand that people will buy, like, XBLA versions of SNES ports and then also buy a 3DS remake.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm still wanting to buy the Snake Eater for 3DS. I'm probably one of the only ones, but...
Like, if Konami were to come out with, like, an up-res version of, like, Symphony of the Night with, like, brand new, like, art, and for the sake of argument, let's say they got the, whoever Axis uses for, like, the Guilty Gear stuff, let's say they got them to do the art, I'd fucking buy it again. I'd pay them $50. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
I mean, here's the thing about Symphony of the Night. I own Symphony of the Night on 3 consoles now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4, actually, because of the PSN collection.
I own every version PSP. Of Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I am.
They could release this on a fridge, and I'd buy that fridge.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Fridge-based gaming.
Yeah, it's not like they're losing money by releasing like a crappy like cash-in version. It's like XBLA version was horrible, but hey, it was obviously a cash-in. Hey, I get to play a good shot at Symphony of the Night again. You know what? I'm going to buy it again. You're not losing any money.
Right.
But you see, I can see Square coming out one day and thinking, going, and there's this whole new trailer, you know, the Final Fantasy you've all been waiting for, remade in HD, full graphics, Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be...
8 is actually better selling.
Which is bizarre, really? Yeah.
It's not terribly bizarre. After 7, there's probably a number of new converts, and not everyone bought 7 new.
Mm.
Right. So yeah, that makes sense. And it came out on Dreamcast Day.
8?
Yeah, $9.99.
No, wait, no. Final Fantasy 8 didn't come out on Dreamcast Day.
Yeah, it did. Because I remember going to the mall.
You might be thinking of like a Blinkcast or some shit. There's no way.
I remember Final Fantasy came out on the same day as a Dreamcast.
There was a PC version, I think.
No, no.
Absolutely no way. You're completely mistaken.
I'm going to go to Wikipedia and check. Jimmy Wales is a creepy.
You're going to have to pony up what you think you should give if you're wrong.
For this, let's see. Wikipedia.
No, you can't go to Wikipedia now. No,
Well, no, because I remember buying them the same exact day because the EB Lime was nuts. It was mad.
It came out the same day as the Dreamcast, I'm pretty sure. No, it came out months earlier.
Dude, it came out $9.99.
No, February 11th, 1999.
Kami, you're thinking about a completely different game.
No, it was a Final Fantasy.
No. Because Sony owned too much of Square at that point. The reason Nintendo got around it is they created a separate thing where they put in money and Square published off that.
Right.
Yeah,
until the post-Square Enix merger that things changed.
Right.
Yeah, apparently had a worldwide release date of February 11th, 1999.
February.
No, it came out.
PlayStation 1.
Yep.
Maybe it was over here that it came out on the same day as the Dreamcast.
That's because
I remember getting both for my birthday, because we got you that new console you liked with the big game everyone's waiting for.
Right, they're so two separate things, yeah.
Tear open my Dreamcast, amazing. You've done this to me twice now, parents. First with the N64, when you bought me a load of PS1 games, and now you've done exactly the same with the Dreamcast. I'm disowning you because I feel that's unacceptable.
I opened my first NES with Metal Gear 1 and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Basically the two hardest fuck games in the NES library at the point.
First console my parents ever bought me was the original Game Boy, and I left it in the mall cafe that day.
Oh, wow.
Fool.
You never saw it again, did you?
No.
Let's see.
I had to wait till the Game Boy Pocket to get a Game Boy after that.
Let's see here. I know I got 2600 for my first system, because I was an idiot and asked for an Atari 2600 Junior and 7 NES. Got that, and I think...
Instead of an Amiga.
Yeah, I got a Defender for that. I think Joust? Can't remember. Let's see here.
The fact that I was able to beat Ninja Turtles as a kid, but cannot play it at all today.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure what that actually means.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, release dates. PlayStation in Japan, February 11th, 1999. Release dates, North America, September 9th, 1999. I bought them both the same fucking day, because I was there at 6 a.m. I remember that shit clearly. Clearly!
Okay, but you didn't buy it for the Dreamcast.
Well, I never said, yeah, because it never came out for the Dreamcast.
I'm pretty sure you were saying something about it coming out
for
the Dreamcast.
Yeah, you said you bought it on the Dreamcast.
I said it came out on Dreamcast. It came out $9.99. That's all I said.
I think this kid is messing with your head.
No,
the lack of good grace in
which
this
is weird
podcast
because,
is disgraceful.
Like, Final Fantasy VII came out September 7th, 97.
Yeah.
And then they skipped from that to... $9.99.
Well, they always do the second week of September. That was their tradition for a while. But no, I bought them both the same day. They didn't come out on the Dreamcast. It came out on that and PC. But no, they were released the same day. That's why I said it was $9.99 was like a marketing wonderland. It's like 11/11/11.
Okay, I could have sworn you said it came out on the Dreamcast, and that's why.
No,
I
can do post production on this podcast, so I will re-listen
to edit it out.
No. Yeah. Because $9.99, because both of them came out the same day, so there's a lot of hype for the release day. Because I even have the magazine ads that say it was out on $9.99. But you guys are like, no, it released on February 11th. And I'm like, no, it released on September 9th. I'm pretty sure. But yeah.
Okay.
So I'm not 100% sure, but I think we may have just had another earthquake.
Really?
Really?
I swear to God, my shirt was just shaking back and forth.
Well, let's check Twitter.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I did. Yeah, there was one. I don't know how long ago this was.
Beast person didn't just go out your door.
I don't think so. I could be completely off base, but that was weird. But anyways, sorry. I was sitting here while you guys were talking, trying to listen, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
You're like, huh? Is there a dragon outside?
Afro Blue is trending. That's gotta be pretty cool.
Cue the dragon music.
Let's see. We'll take another quick break. We'll make sure the earth is not shaking under us.
Get down.
And then we'll talk about what we've been playing. Zelda. Imran needs to talk.
Fuck Zelda.
Oh my. Okay, we'll be right back.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Oh
damn.
Hey guys, we're still here talking. We've been talking about Skyrim stories and how David got killed by a gate.
Yeah. the most terrible gate in the world. It's I don't understand it.
Asshole gate.
Well, it was a gate with a gem on it, so I thought, I'm going to get me that gem. And then the gem fired off an ice spell and killed me straight away. And I mean, as I was saying, I've killed lots of things. I've punched a lot of things above my weight and come out superior in this game. So an inanimate plank on top of a little gate should not have too many problems for me.
No, gates should be relatively easy to.
I mean, you should just be able to open them and close them.
You never know, though. I mean, with all this level scaling and everything, those gates will.
Yeah, the level scaling on gates is just broken.
Yeah. We need to write a very strongly worded letter.
We can get a gate mod.
Yeah, a gate mod where the gates also kill children.
Call it Skyrim gate.
All right, the only way you can kill children is with gates.
Yeah, a quick side note before we get into kind of what we've been playing, and because I'm really excited to hear about Zelda. But what is the deal with people? Is it the No Mutants Allowed people? Is that who we have to blame for this? The people that are screaming about the sanctity of a video game because you can't kill kids, so they mod it into the game?
Yeah, that. Yeah, probably.
I think people don't want to be denied freedom.
Yeah, they think they see this as something that's censoring the game. Oh. As a whole.
I think also if a kid's going to be a mouthy little prick in a video game, and I can't pin him to a wall with a dagger through his skull,
but I think it's
wrong.
I think it's funnier if somehow you can have the kids follow you and leave them in a Yeti cave and run away. That's funnier to me than just outright killing them. It's like that douchebag got what he deserved. But teach you to sass, but yeah, it's just really bizarre because people just furious and outraged, like, I can't believe you can't kill kids. And I'm like, I have a question.
why would you want
what?
But then
because you can't kill kids in real life and you need to get your rocks off somehow or another.
Right.
So
I think a lot of it is about getting your rocks off, because if you've seen some of the mods for the Fallout games, especially the ones that feature kids. Yeah.
Do we have one that makes everyone Adrian Lima? No, not yet, probably. I think we didn't when we talked about this on the last Beercast.
Yeah, no, but there's that beauty mod for Fallout 3 that made everyone white. The most racist thing I've ever seen. It's like, I think, because you know how the faces were kind of Bethesda ugly.
Did it call?
This guy came. With the beauty mod, and went, I've made them all beautiful.
Yeah, next.
There was about 2,000 comments of, these are great, these are great. And then at the bottom, the very last comment, it's like, why have you made them all white?
The Master Wraith 3.0. Read PDF, please. Read me.
It was a very targeted nuclear bomb.
Yeah. Filled with a...
Don't.
Oh, yeah, don't. Let's stop right there.
Don't. Anyway, what have we been playing?
Yeah. What have we been going on?
Well, okay, well, here, how about this? We'll go around and say Skyrim.
I.
Skyrim and Saints Row.
Saints Row 3.
Yep.
I.
Nay.
What? No. Get out of our council.
I think Imran might be the only one who's played Skyrim Sword.
Skylander Sword?
I mean...
Saints Row Sword?
Saints Row Sword, yeah, the third.
That's a very interesting sword in that game.
Tell us about it.
It's a good game. Like a fucking Zelda.
How does it work?
I mean, people have pretty much beat the details to death by now, so I don't think I need to rehash all that. But basically, you swing a sword, and it works.
Can
you cut grass?
You can indeed cut grass. It's kind of pissing me off because the grass doesn't have enough hearts in it. So I've died once already.
Don't you start with 6 hearts in this game?
You do start with 6 hearts, but most enemies take away 1 to 2.
Oh, wow.
Some would say that is too many hearts.
It's an illegal
amount of hearts.
No one man should have all these hearts.
Is this the first game that it's done it that way?
6 hearts at the beginning?
Or enemies taking off that many.
I feel like maybe Zelda 2, they took off a decent chunk of our energy, because that game didn't use hearts.
Oh.
And it doesn't count either.
But yeah, I mean, it's not difficult, but it's engaging and it's challenging. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you're doing, if you're trying to just, waggle your way past it, you'll get your ass killed a lot. Like the first boss, the way you fight him is he's basically just holding out his hand and if you try to attack him in the wrong way, he'll grab your sword with two of his fingers, take it, and start hitting you with it.
Wow.
So you have to figure out, you have to point your sword one way so he'll think you're attacking that way, and then quickly move it from the other side.
Interesting.
So that first part basically teaches you, hey, if you try to waggle through this game, you're going to get killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you... Or I was just going to kind of ask a general question, and I mean, this is something you could probably touch on, I mean, the more we talk about it, but to me, it seems like, this year is loaded to the brim with amazing games. Does Skyward Sword, like, from what you've played so far, is it a Game of the Year contender?
It depends on your perspective. I think, and this is all going to go into my review whenever that actually, or whatever we call reviews.
Is it the best game this year, but it doesn't deserve Game of the Year?
That's Skylanders? The other Sky.
The other Sky.
Skyrow?
Skyrow, yeah. Skyrow the Dragon. Anyway.
But it's hard to say, because you know how Majora's Mask is kind of a polarizing game?
Right.
This is more of that. Like, you're going to find a lot of people who are not going to like the things this game does.
I thought Majora's Mask is the best one.
Yeah, and a lot of people love that game.
Yeah.
But I think the way this game changes things, like, it's so much more linear than every other Zelda game.
Yeah.
If you prize exploration, this is probably not the game for you. Mm-hmm. So I can see a lot of people who do love the exploration aspect of Zelda completely being turned off from this.
But is there not an argument to be made that Zelda needs to be kind of changed? Because other than Majora's, it's kind of has just been Ocarina of Time over and over again in different
and
locations.
That's interesting because it's a complaint that wasn't levied at the series until Twilight Princess, and I think Twilight Princess was that breaking point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's why I think this game, there was a lot of pressure put on it to be the referendum on Zelda. And I think to most, like, it's not a different series. It's not going to be Skyrim at this point.
Right.
What they wanted of Zelda, it's pretty clear that it's going to have a lot of the same foundational basis. But, for example, they've pretty much blurred the line between dungeon and out-of-dungeon areas.
Oh, cool.
So there's not a whole lot of difference between what you're doing to get into that dungeon and what you're doing out of it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the bigger foundational changes for this game. But it's still, you're still going to dungeons. You're still getting keys, killing bosses.
Right.
So, I mean, it's if you're tired of the Zelda formula, you need to examine what exactly that formula is for you and then try and see if Skyward Sword still matches that.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be... People like Zelda for different things. Because it's such a weird mishmash of genres, it was always like this action RPG that focused on exploration and puzzle solving, and it had this story and talked to NPCs and blah, 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 blah. If you're playing a Tales game, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
If you're playing a Zelda game, it changes every series or every iteration.
That's true. And the only other question I had, kind of a direct question, then I'll let you kind of talk about experiences and stuff, is there more harm than good done whenever the main game that really uses the motion control to their best extent, I guess I could say, is released so far along in the Wii's life?
I don't think that Skyward Sword could have been made if they had not made the same mistakes they made with Twilight Princess. If they had not realized that waggling your sword in any direction is not a good feeling, then I don't think they could have made it work so well here.
Right.
So I'm not sure, it would be great if Skyward Sword had come out in 2006, and if they had managed that same technology then, but I mean, the fact that it didn't, hopefully we'll see something that built off this eventually.
Right.
But I mean, this is another place where I feel like Skyward Sword is unfairly being placed as the referendum for motion controls, because there's a review, I can't remember the name of the site, but it was VentureBeat, maybe, that was basically 3 or 4 pages about how much they don't like the Wii, and how Skyward Sword doesn't change that. So if you don't like motion controls in this game, while it does it well, it's not going to fundamentally change your perspective on it.
Right.
Just like I don't really like dual analog games or shooters, but I'll play them. But if you gave me a mouse option, I would take the mouse option every time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Which I always want to know why have do, especially on the PlayStation 3 where it's supported, why don't they let you use keyboard and mouse for these shooters?
There's an old story that may be apocryphal, but one, it's Microsoft was originally trying to get crossplay for, I think they actually accomplished it with Shadowrun, between the 360 and PC, and the PC players during testing completely destroyed the console players.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were didn't like, they,
yeah, we can't do this.
Didn't they respond by trying to gimp the PC rather than
Yeah, they tried to, like, some really fucked up auto-aim and mouse acceleration and yeah, it didn't work out well. And I'm guessing that's one of the reasons that, besides Epic, they don't really bother with it on the PS3.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So be it.
But yeah, Zelda, if you're looking for a new Zelda game, you'll get that and more. If you're looking for a new take on the series, you will get less than that, but not completely none.
Right.
So, like, the motion controls in this, does this give you better hope for, like, the stuff you're going to see later on the Wii U? Is it that much of a difference between the waggle stuff that's happened before?
I don't think they know what they're going to do with the Wii U Zelda, because they've been giving pretty much contradictory statements, like saying, oh, it's going to be just a normal controlling game, and
I don't
later
think they could
saying,
have
oh,
kind of motion for the Wii U, could they? Because of the size? Probably, I know it does use the Wii, you can use the Wii controller with it, but I mean, kind of, that controller feels... looks very big to be doing motion controls with the Wii U one itself.
Who knows at this point? I mean, I think what they're probably going to do is going to make a traditional kind of controller in Zelda and probably have the Ocarina of Time style aiming.
Yeah.
Because that seems to make the most sense to use of that thing.
I could see that. And then have a function to where you can, like, if someone wanted to watch TV, you can throw the game onto your little handheld dealio and play it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't think if they didn't go back to this, it would probably be a big waste of potential.
Yeah.
Because this does work. It works really well. But I can see, based on the reaction to this sort of thing, that some people are just never going to accept this as a step forward. So they may just go back to things everybody can use.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the more what I was trying to ask is, like, the stuff that you see, like, the gameplay-wise with, like, the motion control. You think this is the way forward for, like, Nintendo's, like, motion control stuff? You see stuff in there that's just that every game, like, or not every game, but, like, most games should pick up on?
I think there's... If I had to give you two examples of games that extremely benefited from motion controls, this would be one of them, and the other would be Sin and Punishment 2. But as for every game going forward, I think it's safe to say the market, aside from very casual people, the hardcore market, I'd say, will not accept this. So I don't think they're going to do it. I think that this is just as likely to be a swan song as it is to be the start of something else.
Interesting.
But, I mean, the game's going to be... It's a Nintendo game, so it's not going to drop in price.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you feel like you can drop the $50 on it, or $70 if you want a Motion Plus controller, then you're not going to be disappointed if you're just going and expecting Zelda.
I would hope you would expect Zelda from a Zelda game.
Yeah.
Some Zeldas are not as good as others.
Yeah, true.
Phantom Hourglass, for example.
Zeldas of War.
The Zelda in this game is actually really adorable. It surprised me. They made her an actual character this time.
Aww. Sorry.
The one issue I might have, and this is more of a story thing, is it doesn't feel like there's a lot of urgency in this one. Like, you know, in every Zelda game, shit goes down and then Link has to go save people.
Right.
This one, it's basically about Link needing to save Zelda, and that's it. He's saving her because she's his friend.
That's cool.
And so it's a lot more personal, and from what I'm told, it gets a lot more dark than previous Zelda games.
Oh, wow.
But I'm only on the second dungeon, so we're going to see how that works out. Hopefully I can finish this game in time to be able to...
That's what I kind of didn't like about Twilight Princess, is you never felt you were encouraged to explore, because shit's going down, you need to deal with it now, rather than go and see how far you can go with the abilities you have, which is what I always loved about Zelda games.
The exploration in this game is... You know how in Mario Galaxy you're shifted off to a star and you can look around for stuff?
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like that. Like, you're sent to an area, and that area has clearly defined beginnings and endings. But there's a freedom of exploration to go through and look for things. Generally, they're going to ask you to find like 5 pieces of a key, and you have a dowsing rod that will tell you generally where they are. But my advice is don't use that. Just start looking, look for contact clues in the environment. It's going to solve any issues you have with this not being as exploration-based as other Zelda games.
Yeah. That doesn't sound so bad, though, because if you read anything Gaff says, they think it's like a literal straight-line game. They're like, oh, it's the most linear thing I've ever done, ever. Or, you know, they have this very overreacting sense to it. But no, if they give you the context to enjoy the environments that you're given, even though, I mean, it's kind of like saying that, you know, Batman Arkham Asylum, you couldn't explore. It's like, well, you could. You're in right. Arkham Asylum, but you could. You could go and you could check stuff out. You could. I mean, is it kind of set up that way where, you know, you're definitely given freedom to go about it the way... You can basically find out how to solve the problems at your own discretion. Yeah. There's one way to solve them, but you can find them out in many different ways, I guess.
Yeah, you can definitely figure your way out.
That's cool.
And, like, by your own volition, it's pretty easy. The problem is, like, you go back to a lot of these places, it's very Metroid Prime-y that way.
Mm-hmm.
That I've seen doors that I'm like, I need to figure out how to get over there because I'm sure there's something over there.
Yeah.
But then I just have to give up because, I mean, I have all the pieces of the key. Might as well just go into the dungeon.
That's cool. Yeah, it sounds like Zelda.
And there's been dungeons that I've looked around because I get lost pretty easily. And I've seen stuff that is no way capable of interacting with items I have or have gotten in that dungeon. So I know I'm going to have to go back into those later.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, it sounds solid. It sounds really good. It's... I think for the whole Game of the Year debate and things like that, because I do not have a Wii, the only reason I would get a Wii now is to get the Metroid Prime Trilogy game, which is crazy expensive, and then get Skyward Sword. Those are really the only two things drawing me to owning the system again.
You should import Xenoblade.
Really?
Crazy MMORPG tendencies, I think you would sink 100 hours into that game easily.
I probably would. Yeah, I mean...
Xenoblade is... The Final Fantasy XII sequel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's definitely a good analogy.
Oh, don't tell me that, because XII is my favorite Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's mine as well. And
oh,
that's,
my God.
Xenoblade is the reason I'm going to be rebuying a Wii at Christmas.
Holy crap.
Anyway.
Merry Christmas.
That's Zelda. And that's one of, like, 20 different games I've played in the last week.
Yeah. I mean, I've played a little bit of Mario 3D Land. And what I've played, I love. I'm just not far enough in to actually give it a full talk through on the podcast, I guess.
But a friend called me and he was like, "Yo, I just got Halo. Do you want to come over and co-op?" I was like angry at him. I was like, "You know how many games I have to play." But yeah,
Halo is
Halo. It's Halo 1 exactly. There's basically no difference except for better graphics.
Yeah, and.
That's sort of the point.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, it even keeps the same stuff.
It's the Monkey Island remake,
games.
Isn't it? It's pretty much the Monkey Island remake, where the old game plays in the background.
Change graphics on a fly.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool feature.
Like the whole energy gun thing, like you can't explode it anymore. You can just keep the charge forever.
Oh, yeah. And I just like the fact that you can change to the old classic style by being like, Xbox Classic! Like, just scream it at the Kinect and it does it. It's just, I don't know. I just get funny visuals of people doing that with their Doritos dust on their fingers. I don't want to hit the back button on the controller.
Might lose my double XP.
I bet what they're going to do at E3 is they're going to be like, and now we're going to show you something new and say Xbox 10, and then it changes from the old dashboard to whatever this new system is.
Yeah, that's
yeah. And then it changes to the Windows 8 stuff. Yeah.
God,
it's going to be exact same console. Well, what's this Xbox Loop that they've got to be showing?
The Loop itself is probably just like a Roku with Xbox branding, but they've been dropping hints that they've got a new console ready, and they might show it off at CES.
Interesting.
So we'll see. That seems like Microsoft. It's something they would do is, hey, let's rush out a dual GPU console for 2012.
Yeah, that's going to have the same heat problems our own.
Yeah, exactly. Let's cram more dumb shit into this box so we can make it hotter.
Like, oh. Microsoft, let's cram more dumb shit into this box.
I will say what excites me about Windows 8, it's going to make Windows 7 the new Windows XP. Because people are going to mod out Windows 7 because they don't want to change over. Like, I just see Windows 8 being a disaster. Because they don't know what they want from it. We're going to make it easier. Well, what do you mean by easier? Well, you know. I'm like, what?
It's making it very obvious that Jay Allard is no longer there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And granted, he shouldn't be because he went crazy. did you read the actual thing, like, why he left Microsoft?
Wasn't he kind of, like, screaming at people in the office or something?
Well, yeah, because he couldn't get the Courier off the ground, so they're like, Allard, go talk to Bill Gates and convince him. If Bill Gates says go for it, then we have no issue. So he went to them and he was like, you know, I think the Courier is a great idea. And Bill Gates is like, well, how do you send an email? He's like, you don't send emails. You use it to make things. And Gates is like, no, out. This is a terrible idea.
Oh, wow.
Leave, Jay Allard.
So he left shortly after that.
Ooh.
I assume he's doing coke in some alley now.
Yeah.
And then Bill Gates cured cancer.
Jay Allard will go to where
all these executives
goes, and he will end up at some kind of crazy technology startup that won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like the Phantom.
And Bing.
He was all about web TV for a while.
Yeah, there's some weird technology. We're in that Wild West era now to where people are like, I'm going to make a thing that automatically readjusts your address book for Gmail. And we're going to make a company around it. And I was like, that sounds pretty stupid. Like, you know, I'm like, that's not a company I'm part of.
We're kind of starting the app bubble, aren't we? Kind of like we've had the dot-com bubble, and now we're in the app bubble.
Yeah.
Where people are going to make shitty apps and expect to be an Angry Bird success.
I will say, on kind of a closing note before we say our departing words, that the coolest app you can possibly get ever is the Nitro Beard app that is currently being made.
Is that only WebOS?
I think it's only WebOS, yeah.
Yeah, but it is. Oh, it's cool, though.
Made for the widest possible audience. Oh,
so good.
We should try and figure out how to make iPhone apps at some point. I think I was going to do that and then stopped.
Man, I'm all talk. I would make it if I knew how. Like, I'd look at it and be like, yeah, this is a lot of code. And then I'd just...
If we want to do it, we should coordinate with Matt Pierce. He's the dude that made the WebOS app. He's a smart dude.
He's a very smart dude. And like, I do want to get some screenshots and stuff of it and like make a post dedicated to it because it is gorgeous. He was like, oh, here, I made this for Nitro Beard. And I looked at it, and it was this like beacon of shining light. Like, oh, so
looks better than the actual site.
Yeah. It's like Brian and I's ingenuity of creating the site just got hammered by Matt Pierce's.
And it even has a mode where it autocorrects Mark spelling.
And formatting errors.
Oh, we should make a Nitro Beard drinking game. That's our our ingenuity. We're going to make a drinking game. But yeah, that's kind of it. Anyone else kind of have newer stuff they've been playing?
No.
Okay. I would say
I've been playing Street Fighter Alpha 3. That's about it.
Oh,
that's fucking awesome game.
Yeah, it is.
Best single player mode in any fighting game.
I still think it's the best 2D fighter ever made.
Nice. Yeah, that's it for this show. But I am going to say that yes, the Beardcast is coming to you earlier in the week now, which is exciting.
And we're gonna try to hammer out a new schedule, or it might just be this. Who knows? But we'll be toying with it the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and on that same note, expect something in the next probably day. I think we're going to be recording a Thanksgiving special, and there's a lot of neat stuff going on with that. So even if it's just me and Brian, or me and... It could be me and 30 people. It's just going to be a little bit of anarchy.
Oh, my God.
It'll be fun. So you can share your holidays with the Nitro Beard Beardcast. But yeah, I'm Wes Gardner.
Tell us what you're thankful for.
Yeah, send in a very long email, and we'll read them all very dramatically.
You guys have to get drunk for this, you know.
Oh,
we're out of here.
I was thinking about it. I was like, what kind of nasty wine could I go pick up for $4 at a corner store?
Just buy a jug of wine.
Oh yeah, the box of wine.
See, with the little finger handles.
There's like three X's on the label.
Right?
A gourd of wine.
Oh man, they're getting nothing but stuffing and just eat it and be like, just crying on the podcast. It'll be good. It'll be
fun. All right.
We're done. 65.
Nigel Jones.
That's right.
Jones.
Birdman.